Rookie of the Year Dad Rock Band. You know, it's kind of like Rookie of the Year Dad Rock Band. Because, like, Wilco.
Wilco was.
It's like, it was like an indie band, and you're kind of like, wow, that's Wilco and whatever. And now Wilco's Dad Rock. And, you know, it's kind of... There's the bands that kind of graduate up into
different shade. Yeah, is there a committee that you have to apply for Dad Rock status?
I think it's the Hall of Fame. I think it's kind of same crap. Yeah. You know.
Well, yeah. I know it's not Wilco, but you made me think of. I went to see Yo La Tengo play at the Cat's Cradle one night, and I remember I went up to the bar to get a drink, and these two dudes were talking, and they were like. Yeah, I mean, it was like in the middle of the set too, so like it was kind of too early to be like reflecting on the show, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, that was a great show. Like, well, you know, we're in the middle, you know, they haven't played their Stairway to Heaven yet. I don't know what their Stairway to Heaven is, but cuz I don't know a whole lot about Yo La Tengo. But anyway, they were like, "Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good, but it's just like Yo La Tengo by numbers." And I was just like, what does that mean?
Yeah, because like, I want to know.
Is that what you go, like, if you're really into, I don't know, Iron Maiden, don't you want Iron Maiden by numbers? Like, because you like the band and the way they sound, so you want them to, like, do their thing. Like,
exactly,
you don't,
they're going to play what, like, you know that they're going to play.
Right.
So what's wrong with that?
Like, you don't want Bruce Dickinson to start rapping because it's probably going to be terrible.
Well, maybe they were saying it was formulaic and, you know, and it was...
Maybe.
You know, it's kind of like, I could catch this show tomorrow night and it's going to be as sucky as it is tonight.
Man, this show's just corn by numbers. It's just too, you know...
Freak on a leash. Yeah, totes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's what they were saying. Just the way they were wording it, though, was, like, funny because if someone said, like, if I played a show and someone said, hey, you know, it was a good show, but it was just, like, really matted down by numbers, I'd be like, okay, so...
Did I stay within the line?
Yeah, show me how to not be matted down by numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's better than a mediocre performance.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, right?
Probably.
It's a step above.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure, it's a step above a mediocre performance.
I went and saw...
You know, bravo.
I saw Paul McCartney back in the day, and, I mean, this has got to be 30 years ago now.
So before he was Sir Paul McCartney?
Linda was still alive.
Don't y'all know that that's not really Paul McCartney?
He's been dead for years.
He's been dead for years.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite conspiracies.
One.
Yeah.
That's what we ought to do, is we ought to do a show on conspiracy theories, because I've got
totally
this song,
great
one of the assassination.
I'm totally down with that because the websites that are dedicated to these things are just...
Fantastic.
Insane. I just don't even know who has that kind of time. But yeah, we can have that kind of time to talk about it nonetheless.
No, but what I was going to say is that, you know, it was the same show. And I mean, it was the same jokes and it was the same shtick. And
yeah.
the band would do these like little runs into a song and you'd be like, oh, and then it would be like, no, he's not going to play that. And then he would play it later in the set and you'd be like, hey, I finally got it. And you just kind of knew. And you were there to see Paul McCartney. You weren't there to kind of like be overwhelmed by... You know, you're overwhelmed by the sense that you're in the presence of a Beatle, but you're not there for the rock show. You know, I could see somebody going to see Yo La Tengo that wants to kind of like rekindle this sort of thing that happened in their life and have it, you know, kind of be underwhelmed by that. I can totally see that. You know, it's why I've never gone to see Morrissey.
Well, there's a few reasons.
How can you see Morrissey? He cancels every show.
That's true.
But I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know.
You already know what to expect, you mean?
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of, it's not the Smiths.
Yeah, it's Morrissey. It's not the
You know,
Smiths,
I mean, if you want to go hear Suedehead, and that's great. But as soon as he starts to play Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others, you're kind of like, well, you're a cover band. Yeah, although you were in it,
it's still a cover band.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You made me think of when, I think it was in the 80s, when John Fogerty was sued for...
Covering himself.
Right.
Yeah, Old Man Down the Road.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Run Through the Jungle and Old Man Down the Road.
Yeah, because he did one of his solo songs, and he hadn't done anything in a while, I think. He kind of came out of retirement a little bit.
Yeah.
And he did that song, Old Man Down the Road, and his old record company sued him for sounding like CCR. And he had to actually play...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Eric was saying Run Through the Jungle and, Old Man Down the Road. So he had to actually play both songs on acoustic guitar in court.
Yeah.
to like let the judge know, like,
be a fly on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it'd probably make for a great documentary.
Well, did you guys ever hear the interview? It was Vanilla Ice, to go back to him, where they were like, "You ripped off Queen," and he was like, no, because Queen goes da 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 da, and he goes, and mine goes da 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 da, and I was like, oh my god,
yeah, there's that little bitty ting. It's not the same.
It's totally different. It's totally. I rewrote it.
Well,
that
I think
a great interview.
I think my favorite bizarre rock and roll story is the which is about Van Morrison, actually. And I never really knew or had a strong opinion about him, but I read about this album that he tried to record in the 60s, and I think it never got released officially. But it's called the Contractual Obligation Sessions, I think is what it's called.
Oh, great name.
Yeah, it is a great name. But basically, he had a feud with his record label, and he really, really hated the guy who ran the label. So he had like one record left on the contract. So to get out of the contract, he just went in the studio one night and just recorded a whole album in literally an hour or two. And it's hilarious because it's just him strumming an acoustic guitar and just like making up words basically on the spot.
Yeah.
And each song is like a minute or two long, and it's just like him going like, "Shake and roll, baby, yeah." And then there's a song called like "Roll and Shake," and he's just like, "Roll and shake, baby, yeah." And he's like, like the whole thing is just him bullshitting because he knew they weren't going to release it because it wasn't commercially viable.
Yeah.
But he did it as just like a big fuck you. And there, I think there's even a song on the middle called "Freaky If You Got This Far." That's like one of the song titles. It's really funny. It's definitely worth looking up, but if you want a good laugh. But
well, I was gonna say Bob Dylan did something like that too.
Well,
he has an album where he mostly, I think, grunts a lot.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah. You can't really understand what the hell he's saying. Well, and I think it was actually commercially successful, even though he tried to do it basically to say a fuck you to the record label.
Well, the crazy thing about the Van Morrison thing is he recorded this. The head of the label heard it. The next day, the head of the label drops dead. Like, just dies freakishly.
The next day?
Yeah. And then the head of the label, his wife, sues Van Morrison and says it's Van Morrison's fault that her husband died because he, like, upset him or something by recording this.
Oh, my God.
And it's just a complete, like, it made me think, like, Van Morrison is awesome because he's like, fuck you, basically. Like, I didn't know, you know.
But that happens. I mean, you think about it. You think about how awful it must be that you figure it yourself that no matter how successful you are, you get into a record contract, right? And you're kind of beholden to this thing that controls your life for years. And they tell you exactly what you can release.
Yep.
They tell you how you should write songs. You know, I played tonight. I played Oh Sweet Nothing by the Velvet Underground.
Right.
But that was their commercial album. The record company went to him and said, yeah, you guys are great and we love you, but you don't sell any albums. You have to sell albums in order. And so they made the Velvet Underground write pop songs.
Right. Yeah. I think they did a great job.
They did.
Album,
but you think if you'd have let them roll, you know, Lou Reed probably stays in the band.
Yeah.
You know, and you think that all these bands that are like the last three albums on their contract are like, well, one's a live album, always. You know, one's a greatest hits or a collection. And then you've got like B-sides. You know, and it's kind of like they just clear the catalog out.
Yeah.
But if you get into to go back to the Smiths had six albums on their deal when they broke up.
Okay.
So that's why you get like The Greatest Hits Part 3, which is the same as The Greatest Hits Part 2. And it happened to The Clash.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, after Cut the Crap, they still had two albums to go, I think. You know, which is why they did Clash on Broadway, which was unnecessary. And
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like they just you keep punching into it. So a guy like Van Morrison just goes, I'm out. You know, I think that's great.
Yeah.
It should happen more often.
It's worth a good, I mean, the whole album's like 20 minutes probably, but it's worth a listen because you're like,
cool.
I wish more artists did stuff like that, especially these days. I feel like there aren't too many artists in the limelight who would, you know, do something so abrasive.
Yeah.
Well, Kanye would. According to my co-host, Kanye would actually write a song with Rihanna about that.
Well,
that's not what I said. Thank you, Eric.
I would quote the wise words of a former president, Barack Obama. He's a jockass.
Yeah.
He's a jockass. You know, yeah. You heard that clip when he was talking about Kanye, and I was like, yep, that's like the truest thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our show lasted a good while. I like this, where this conversation went.
Damaged
but
goods.
We don't want to go into your show, Matt.
Which
so
we have.
Yeah, we have. It's damaged goods part one. Here's part two.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. So, are you ready?
I have to load up this CD on this fancy equipment.
Well, then I'm gonna play a song.
Do it. Yeah. Yeah. Do it.
Hello, I'm Sean Galvin. Join me at 4 o'clock on Tuesday evenings for Galvanized, a new program that will feature the best contemporary classical music written by today's hottest composers. All living composers, all the time. Galvanized, it's your weekly reminder that classical music is as alive as ever. 4 o'clock on Tuesdays on Little Raleigh Radio and streaming at littleraleighradio.org.
I'm Jay.
I'm Tiffany.
And this is Clay.
And we're Pie Face Girls. And you're listening to Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio.
Fuck this ass to this shit.
while you toss and turn, they are in the street. Wow! Don't try to run, cause you can't hide. When my mojo comes, get out of line. Wow, tonight you're mine. To the end of time, with the mojo on my mind. Every day you're mine. Three hands and you're mine. All right, children, the mojo will come.
Hello out there. You are listening to Damage Goods on Little Rally Radio. My name is Matt Dunn. I've been called many names before. DJ Two-Headed Dog, DJ Rock Lobster, especially when I'm doing New Wave Night. But tonight I'm just Matt, so keeping it simple there. Thanks for tuning into the show tonight. You just heard a band called King Khan and the Shrines. That was the self-titled track off of the, or I should say the title track off of their album Three Hairs and Your Mine, which came out in 2001. And it's just a, I don't know, King Khan and the Shrines always put on a great show. If you haven't seen them before, it's definitely worth it. They put on a hell of a show, and they've King Khan has yet to disappoint me. I've seen him in King Khan and the Barbecue Show and the Tandoori Nights and King Khan and the Shrines, and he's just like a force to be reckoned with. So I'm looking much forward. I think they're coming out with some new music soon, hopefully. So it's been a while since we've heard a new album by King Khan and the Shrines. But anyway, before King Khan and the Shrines, you heard a band called The OCs, or now OCs, I guess. They've changed, they took the out of their name, and but it's really hard. I just can't say OCs. Like, it just doesn't feel right. I have to say The OCs, so I don't know, it just feels like more natural. But anyway, that was a track off of their latest LP. The LP is called Smote Reverser, and that is off the Castle Face Records label, which is a label run by The OC's frontman John Dwyer, and the track was called Enrique El Cobrador. And that was their, I just can't believe this is their 21st album as a band. Like, literally 21 albums. That's another band that's just like a force to be reckoned with, especially with the amount of output they've done. And I haven't heard all of it, to be honest with you. Like, there's some albums I haven't even checked out yet. So, with having a volume of so many albums like that. But yeah, I really do like their new LP, though. It's a little more, I don't know, I feel like they listened to a little Black Sabbath while they were recording that one or writing that one. But anyway, before The OCs, to begin the show, you heard a gentleman by the name of John Spencer. Yes, that's the John Spencer from the John Spencer Blues Explosion. And I guess this is his first kind of solo album, and which is confusing because if your name is already in the band name and you do a solo album, like, I get it, but it's still, you know, like when Prince the Revolution broke up and he was still Prince, like, I know it was like different band members, but it's still like, feels like a, you know, it's kind of hard to distinguish, I guess I should say. But anyway, yeah, that was a track, a brand new track, I should say, from John Spencer called Do the Trash Can. And it's on his just released album called Spencer Sings the Hits. And that was on the In the Red Recordings label. Great label there, of course. But yeah, I think that John Spencer was recently... I know the John Spencer Blues Explosion had been featured in that movie Baby Driver. Really great action movie. And I noticed that because I was looking up their info on Spotify. And, you know, they're, a lot of their songs have a normal amount of listens. But then the song featured in Baby Driver has like 18 million listens or something like that, which is interesting to think. I never really thought a band that was never really successful on a mainstream level would have that many listens, but hey, that's pretty cool, especially for a song so old. But anyway, coming up on the show, we have I'm excited about this one, an interview with a brand new interview, I should say, brand new released interview. I did it back in September at the Hopscotch Music Festival in downtown Raleigh. And it's this band called Shopping, and they're from the UK. I think they're originally from London, and they've mostly, I think at least two out of the three members are relocated to Glasgow, Scotland. And they're just a really fantastic band. And I'm really honored that they were even willing to speak to me at all. But very great people, and I wish I could have talked to them for a little bit longer, but you know, they had a show to do that night. But yeah, the Shopping was my favorite band that I saw at Hopscotch this year, 2018. You might disagree, and that's quite all right, but they just put on a hell of a show, and they've got this great new wave, post-punk, a little bit of funk in there. Like, it's, I don't know, they're just a really great band, and it was the first time I'd actually seen them live. They've actually played in my area here in North Carolina quite a few times for a band from London, which is kind of surprising, but they're just so good. And I can only hope to hear more music from them very soon. But anyway, I'm going to play a couple of tracks from a little place called New York City. We got a band called Palberta and a band called Public Practice, which is a pretty fairly new band out of the New York area. And yeah, so we're going to kick it off here with Palberta and a track called Roach Going Down. A new life's been in a new house. A new house's been in a new life. A new life's been in a new house. A new house's been in. We'll be right back.
when the grief turned cold. We took the bait, this is the hype. Lies make lovers of us all, blending into dust. Shake like flowers hit with rain, I'm blending into dust. Unravel the words of my eyes, I'm gleaming, blinding, seeing without sight. Eyes worn, eyes not white. Sugar salted lies. Sugar.
Hello, this is Matt with Damaged Goods Radio, and I'm here at the Hopscotch Music Festival in downtown Raleigh, and I'm here with a band called Shopping. They've come all the way from London, UK to play at the Hopscotch Festival, and I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Andrew. I play drums and I sing.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I play guitar and I also sing.
And how long has the band Shopping been around for?
We've been around since the end of 2012, start of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We played our first gig, I think, at the tail end of 2012, maybe. But we were playing in a five-piece before that called Cover Girl. So we've been making music together for, almost a decade.
This is not your first time in North Carolina, is it?
No, we played Durham at least twice, maybe three times. We've definitely been to the Pinhook twice. Really good time. We've always had great shows in North Carolina. But first time in Raleigh, I think? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, excited.
Do you have any favorite places to play in the United States?
Well, we have a lot of friends in New York and a lot of friends in LA. I really enjoyed playing in Chicago.
I like DC because we also have a lot of friends in DC.
Oh yeah.
But
DC's,
I know
DC's
like,
great.
I feel like the places can always surprise you. You always think like, oh, this isn't going to be a fun show, and then it's like amazing and some place you've never been. Or
I really enjoyed. Is it Asheville?
Asheville, that's right.
Yeah, we actually had a great time in Asheville. That town is so cool. So that was like coming from another bloody continent. Like, you don't know really what places are going to be like, what the vibe is. Just driving into that town, it was like, this is a cool like space. This is going to be a nice show. So that was interesting. That was a fun surprise, I think.
We're just joined by another member of Shopping.
Hi.
If you could introduce yourself.
I'm Billy.
And what do you play?
I play bass.
So is Shopping on a tour right now?
It's a little mini tour for us. We've been on much longer tours in the States this year even, but this one we're doing 10 dates just in the northeast of the United States and two shows in Canada. So it's just a quick dipping in and out for a few festivals and some good shows in between.
Where are you playing in Canada?
Toronto and Montreal.
Toronto's great.
Yeah.
Great time hanging out there.
Yeah.
I actually met Nardwar in Toronto last year during Christmas. He performed at the Drake Hotel and did a spoken word about his life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, we've yet to come across Nardwar.
Also, they don't have pennies in Canada.
Pennies?
Yeah. These little U.S. coins are worth, like...
Oh, pennies. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have those. We have half pennies.
Halfpenny.
Halfpenny.
Yeah.
Halfpenny,
yeah.
Well, they got rid of them in Canada, so they realized they weren't worth keeping around.
I guess it makes sense. When you have, like, inflation, nothing is actually going to be like a penny. But what do they... Oh, yeah, no, they did that last time we played in Toronto. They didn't have, like... So stuff was just rounded up or down, right? You didn't get, like, small... Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. Why bother trying to... Half of it is just, like, trying to kid consumers into thinking they're getting a deal. Like, it's $4.99.
Right.
It's five. Just call it five. So yeah, that makes sense. I'm into it.
And they have, well, I think they have one in $2 coins called Loonies and Toonies.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Coins here.
Oh, it's pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters.
But there's $2 coin. I've got a $2.
Well, that's true. There are the one in two.
They're rare.
$2 coin, and then we got $2 bills that are special.
Yeah, they're...
They come out when the bicentennial or something.
I've got a $2 bill that I found on the ground in Glasgow.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
It's really dirty and fucked up.
What are some of the best bands in the London area?
We've kind of all dispersed a little bit from London. Me and Rachel both live in Scotland now, in Glasgow. I guess we still know about London, but in Glasgow, I can tell you that there's some amazing bands. There's a band called Hair Band that are really sick. They've got a record coming out shortly. There's a band that I really like called Comfort, who are playing, like, it's a two-piece doing kind of noise punk stuff.
Andrew's in a good band called Current Affairs that are in Glasgow. In London, there is a band called S that we played with recently, who are our friends.
The letter S or?
ES. I can't remember why or what that means.
It's a Freudian thing. It's like the id, and then there's apparently the S. I can't remember what part of the brain or what psychological thing that's about, but that's what it's from. But it's ES, so.
Yeah. Anyway, they're a really good, like, synth punk band.
Oh, yeah. So if you liked Nut Texan, who are sadly no more, then check out S as well.
Definitely.
Some of my favorite bands maybe could possibly play again in the future because Bryony's moved back to London, but like Good Throb, maybe that could happen again.
Oh, I love Good Throb.
Even though Louis lives in Barcelona, Louis's in another band, two-piece kind of pop electronic band called Fata Morgana. That's really good. Fata Morgana, not Fanta. It was just a fantasy. Fata Morgana. They're really cool. It's the singer from Belgrado in that as well. That's more than enough bands.
That is. That's good.
That's researching, yeah.
And your latest album is called The Official Body. And it came out last year.
This year.
Oh, this year. Okay. Was it produced by Edwin Collins from Orange Juice?
Yes.
How did you get hooked up with Edwin Collins?
We just asked him if he wanted to do it. And he said, yeah.
What was that like?
We went to a studio in Helmsdale, which is in like the Highlands of Scotland. So it was really tranquil. And we just worked, you know, solidly. We never recorded like in one complete block before. So that was good. And it was really fun. Nice experience.
Have you had any run-ins with the Rizzillos in Glasgow?
No, not yet. They played recently, actually. The Rizzillos?
Rizzillos.
Didn't they play recently? Anyway, it's like a punk band from Glasgow.
From the 70s. Yeah, mostly.
Rachel's in a band. She mentioned my band. She's in a band called Sacred Pause, who won the Scottish Album of the Year last year. Sacred Pause from Glasgow. That's another band to check out. Never mind the Rizzillos.
There you go. Keep it in current, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about your song... For Your Money. Is there a story behind that song?
It's not so much stories, it's just, you know, it's creative license, artistic license or whatever. I, like, know some people that have been in relationships that you would define as, like, not necessarily for love, whatever that means, whatever that is, but like maybe for the benefits that you get outside of that, like the monetary and material benefits that might come with a relationship. And I'm not trying to pass judgment or talk about that as if I have any opinion on it, which is why I quite liked writing a song based on the notion of like this character that, you know, was involved with an older gentleman and that dynamic. And at the time I was a younger gentleman and now I feel like I'm not quite as young anymore, but it was a song written about that relationship dynamic of being in a relationship with someone for your money, essentially. We never try and like pass judgment or be judgmental about situations. I feel like it's just good to try and see the world from everyone's perspective, and that is kind of a kind of relationship that's really looked down on, and a situation that would be seen as degrading or like all these other things, you know, in a traditional sense. And I don't think it's necessarily healthy to just kind of see things from one point of view and not try and look at stuff from all angles. So that was an example of a song where we were like seeing stuff from a different perspective than our own. But yeah, it's not autobiographical.
Well, that was the first shopping song I heard, and I was like, wow. I think my co-host on the podcast, Seth, he played it for me.
Interesting. It is like a song that people keep asking us to play live when we don't have it in the set list. It's a song from the first record, so from like the start of 2013, that we don't really play so much anymore, but it is like a lot of people have heard that one, weirdly. It's just like an album track which didn't come out as a single or anything, but it's interesting. Yeah, I suppose it speaks to people in some way.
Is it too early to request that one for tonight?
We have not rehearsed that one in a really long time, unfortunately. Yeah. It's not too early, yeah.
They don't want to play it.
You can try, but yeah, we don't. I mean, honestly, I think I may have forgotten what the words even are.
But yeah. You get like maybe the TV screen with the bouncing ball.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, I actually run a karaoke night, so I'm a dab hand at following lyrics on a screen.
Well, did Chopping do a BBC session with Mark Riley from The Fall?
I think we've done like three of them.
What was that like?
Yeah, it's always really nice. He's a lovely guy. It's quite like he's very good at like getting all of the like good bands in the UK to come through and play a session in his studio. He's very like welcoming, and it feels like kind of normal now. I guess it was like it was exciting to go the first time we went, but now it's like hi.
Is that surreal to be hanging out with a member of The Fall?
I mean, he's so sweet, and like it's not like, you know, some kind of on a pedestal or anything. He's a really down-to-earth and genuine person, and really great to just kind of hang out with for those brief moments that we get to hang out with Mark Rowley.
Yeah.
But yeah, the doing the session was like really, really nerve-wracking. Like, I remember the first time we did it and someone made an offhand comment and asked how many people were listening, and the reply was like something along the lines of 600 million or something like this. And we're like, that's gonna be fine.
Wow.
Because it's all like, it's not only broadcast on digital radio, but like online, and people around the world are listening to it. And when numbers get that insane, then it's like, I'm not sure if I'm living life right now. This just is so surreal. But yeah, it's really good.
I mean, I don't
know. That's a bit of an exaggeration. It was in the millions.
It was in the millions. Yeah. And it wasn't just like 6 million, like the population of London a few years ago. It was like 60 million or something. Maybe not.
Is that the closest brush Shopping has had with the mainstream or with the biggest exposure?
I don't know. I think that's probably, I think in the UK maybe, but I think there's probably radio things that we've done over here that like have a bigger reach because of the US being so much bigger. But it's hard for us to sort of know, get a handle on that because we're not from here, so we don't know.
I think we get played on like other
BBC radio stuff in the UK as well. That's like more mainstream, because Radio 6 is like the alternative station.
Mm, yeah.
We get it on like Radio 1 and stuff.
Very, 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 very occasionally, maybe, we'll be on like a regular radio station. And we did something that Steve Lamack was in charge of at South by Southwest. I don't know if that was broadcast on Radio 1, was it? No. Well, 6 Music is up there for sure. And then we definitely noticed a slight change in the people that were coming to shows after we did a 6 Music session. There was like middle-aged to older middle-aged couples turning up to the gig. Kind of like, oh, we heard you on the radio. Like, oh, that's really sweet.
And they were into it?
Yeah, totally. But it's kind of like, that's their kind of like gateway to, they don't, these certain demographic of people that might not like come to DIY shows anymore. Maybe they used to, maybe they never did, but they've got this radio, digital radio, like gateway into new music. And it's like, it's cool, but yeah, I guess you did kind of notice a kind of slight increase in mainstream, whatever that means, people coming to shows. So,
well, and the post-punk revival thing has gotten some attention. Are you tired of hearing that term, though, post-punk? Because I get old to hear that in every review.
Slightly. I'm not convinced that we are that post-punk. I mean, I think there's other elements going on. But not, I like post-punk, and that's fine.
A little bit of funk as well, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of our songs are quite poppy, dare I say. But, yeah, I don't know.
But it doesn't bother me. I mean, people have to say something, don't they?
Yeah, but it's quite limited, because I feel like then people read and they're like, oh, I don't know what post-punk is. Because generally, people don't really know what post-punk is. They think punk, they just hear punk, and then they think of like punk in the early 2000s or something, I feel like, you know? And right. So I think it can be a bit of a barrier, actually, to just give some sort of like muso term to something. Someone's like, oh, I know what to label this, so I'll label it post-punk, and then it's like, that looks like I know what I'm talking about, but then I think it can be a bit of a barrier.
Sometimes I just say new wave, and people are like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah, that's a good term. That's how I describe my other band. It's like goth new wave, because that's exactly what we sound like. We sound like Altered Images crossed with later Susie and the Banshees. So it's like super new wave. But then I don't know what... I find it... fine. I find it totally fine to say post-punk, because I feel like I'm into post-punk, and I think it kind of gets across a vague notion of what we sound like. Post-punk, people aren't like, oh, well, it's a guitar band that's doing like something. Because what would be better? Would we say like, oh, we're like a funk cross pop mix with like a cut? Then it's the real barrier.
I just say like dancey guitar music. You know, like people, they really don't know. They like listen to like Ed Sheeran. You know, they're like, they have no clue. So when,
well,
you know.
I think the people who are worrying about what genre to describe us as are not listening to Ed Sheeran. They like describing him, so they know all these words.
If you're talking to just someone, they're like, oh, you're around, and what's your music like?
Yeah,
I don't say post-punk.
Like when I'm in a taxi, I don't say post-punk.
But not that many people in the world
I don't think we're
like
talking
niche
about
music
that.
Is what I'm saying. Okay. So, hear what they hear on the radio.
Speaking of Ed Sheeran, he was a guest on Game of Thrones. Has Shopping ever done any TV cameos yet? Would you possibly be open to that?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe some a Doctor Who write-in.
Yeah. I'm racking my brain now about what possible TV show you would love to appear in.
Yeah, I don't really like TV.
It would have to be...
especially not from the UK.
Maybe like an animation.
Have you had any brushes with the talk shows? Like, I think, is it Chatty Man? Is that the guy in London who has a talk show?
I'm sure that's a lot of fun to do, but no, we have not been asked yet to do
not
that.
Yet.
It's a shame the kind
What's
of...
that?
Chatty Alan Carr. His name's Alan Carr. Oh. It's like the only talk show that the UK has right now. It's,
I mean, I know who he is, but I didn't know.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Never say never.
Well, does Shopping ever do cover songs?
No.
Has anyone ever covered a Shopping song?
Learned the riff, one of the riffs.
Lots of people do it as a joke.
Someone told me that they were learning one of our bass lines in their lessons the other day.
The teacher was using your bass lines to teach.
Do you know what song, or was it a bunch of songs?
Did we find out what song?
I don't know. You were talking to him.
I don't know. What was it? What was a teacher in like a class?
A guy who does bass lessons in France, somewhere in.
You could have like a DVD, Learn to Play Bass with Shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person might be starting an entire school of bass in France using just your bass. I mean, we should be getting some kickback.
How to play a new wave bass.
Yeah.
How many releases does Shopping have so far?
This is the third record, and we've had three singles.
We have three albums, three singles, a remix EP
as well, and we also had demo CDR. If you're on Discogs and you've got that, then lucky you.
can you find that on Soulseek or one of those MP3 services?
I don't know. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
I don't know if you use Soulseek over in the UK.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Officially endorsed by Shopping. There you go. What are the future plans for Shopping?
Writing another album right now. We toured most of this year, and then we're carrying on doing more touring and writing another album, and then carry on, I suppose. Yeah.
We hope to get to Asia next year. That would be wicked. I'd love to go to Australia. We were talking about Melbourne earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really cool to play with lots of bands that I've been liking for a long time from a distance. Great to get over there. And yeah, like Asia, Japan, China, that would be amazing. We'll see what happens, but tour the world next year. That would be good.
Last question. Who came up with the name Shopping?
It's a common word, but I said that we should call it Shopping, the band that we started. I feel like it was on the tip of everyone's tongue. It's just surprising that actually there are a couple of other bands called Shopping. But there's actually bands called Shopping, but they're nothing like us, so that's fine.
You haven't had any wrong fans show up to your show, have you?
If we did, then by the end of the show they were converted to liking us anyway, so...
Or they just... Yeah.
It was all good.
But we don't know.
Yeah. Well, we've never had a bad review or anyone be like... Oh, I went to go watch Shopping and it was a completely different band or anything like that.
I heard that band Abe Vigoda had someone show up to their show confused. That was like, because they thought it was the actor. So.
Oh, right. Why would you go to... Oh, weird.
He's been dead for 10 years.
They said that they had one... I listened to an interview with them. They said they had one elderly man show up to the show, and he was very confused as to why there wasn't the actual Abe Vigoda.
Thanks. I mean, touch wood. We've never had anyone turn up with like their credit cards out, like trying to purchase goods. I mean, we do have stuff for sale at shows, but
right. Yeah,
we've never had anyone come up thinking that like there's going to be a flash sale or something, 20% off.
Although, For Your Money could be like a great credit card commercial, right? If you ever decided to cash in on that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like credit card companies decide to go for like a twink demographic, then that is the one. So I'll wait for the call.
Well, thanks for talking to us today on Damaged Goods Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Still listening to Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio. My name is Matt Dunn, and you just heard a great track by the band Shopping. That was a track called For Your Money. That was off of their Consumer Complaints album from 2013. And for that, of course, you heard an interview that I did with the band Shopping at the Hopscotch Music Festival in downtown Raleigh. That was from September of 2018, and yeah, just a excellent band, really nice people. Again, I just can't say enough good things about being able to interview them and hang out with them and feel like I was a big deal for like half a second, not really, but anyway, way before shopping, you heard a band called Public Practice with a track called Fate/Glory off of their Distance is a Mirror LP, and that's a band I don't know a whole lot about them, but really cool stuff. Before Public Practice, you heard a band called Palberta, which is another New York band. That was a track called Roach Going Down, and that's off of that was a title track from their release called Roach Going Down. Another band I don't know a whole lot about, but perhaps I will learn so I can give you some pop-up video factoids. But let's see, we've got to go to a place that I love, and that place is called Australia. I love, as if you've listened to the show before, you know that always playing trying to play the newest hot jams out of Australia, because I don't know, there's something in the water down there, and just every time I hear something from Australia, I mean, well, there's exceptions, of course, but there's just so many great bands out of the area, I just cannot believe it sometimes. A band we played on the show before, they're called Parsnip. It's a really cool band. They put out a single, it was like a 7-inch last year, I believe, called Dumb... There's a track on it called Dumb Kopf, D-U-M-M-K-O-P-F. And I don't know what that means, but I heard that song and I was just like, oh my god, I love this band. But they have I believe they're from Melbourne, Australia, and they have a new track, new 7-inch coming out called Feeling Small, and which you can hear, I'll listen to on their Bandcamp and perhaps other ways, perhaps Spotify or Apple Music. I'm not really sure about those, but either way, we have the track called Feeling Small which I believe is the A-side from this release, and also some new music from a great band that we interviewed on the show a while back called The Straight Arrows, another Australian band from Sydney, Australia. Great people, and just always they always put on a fantastic show. So hopefully I can convince The Straight Arrows to come back to the United States, North America at some point. But anyway, we're going to hear a new track off of their latest album called On Top, and the track is going to be called Headache. But either way, let's get it going with Parsnip and the track Feeling Small.
Up. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. Not again tonight.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. And you just heard that was a track called Waterfall, not the TLC track, but that was by a really cool band out of Tasmania, Australia, a band called Slag Queens, which is a really, oh, they're such a cool band. I just discovered them, so I'm very excited about that. But anyway, that was a track that I purchased off of their Bandcamp. So yeah, go check them out. And before, that was like your triple shot of Australia there this week, so don't worry. Yeah, I'm sure you knew it was coming, but there it was. That was before Slag Queens. You heard a band called The Straight Arrows, as I mentioned before, a band from Sydney, Australia, and the track's called Headache. And because who can't relate to having a headache? I feel like that every time I have to go into work. So, you know, that's just a very relatable song. But that is off of their latest LP. It's called On Top. And to begin the set, you heard the great band Parsnip out of Melbourne, Australia, with the track Feeling Small off of their upcoming 7-inch release of the same name. I'm going to play a band out of Bloomington, Indiana. It's a really cool band called the Draculas. And that's a cool band that sent me, I think I ordered their album on Bandcamp. They sent me a free t-shirt because there was like a slight delay. So they sent me this really cool t-shirt that combined the movie Haosu with Milhouse and Milhaosu. And yeah, they're just a really cool garage band out of Bloomington. And God, if you guys are listening, please come play in North Carolina. I would love to see you. But they have a new album out called Trashylvania. And the track is called We Are Trash. So the Draculas with We Are Trash.
You are experiment. You can change yourself into gold. We'll be right back.
got any shame. Old flame, I'm playing your game, you're just an old flame. All right, we are back already. I just played a couple tracks there for you real quick. That was a band out of Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It was a band called Pale Lips, which I just, such a great band. That was a track called Old Flame. But yes, it's a tremendous band out of the Montreal area, which I haven't been to Montreal yet, but I would love to visit. We're going to play one more track for you, but just wanted to remind you, if you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I think we're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We should be wherever you listen to podcasts. For the most part, we should be on there. You can also go to damagegoodsradio.com. You can like us on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everywhere except for MySpace. If you have music that you think would be a good fit for the show, then please send it to us. Any suggestions are welcome. This damagegoodsradio@gmail.com. It's a bit of an older one. Not a super well-known song, I don't think, but there's a band called Grudge. Not Grunge, but Grudge from the 70s. And it's kind of like in the weird glam. It's like a very glammy, power poppy song, but very angry, like, lyrics. The song is called I'm Gonna Smash Your Face In. And it really just sounds like the lyrics are kind of like a punk song, but the song is really just a lot more like poppy. So it almost, yeah, it just sounds like almost like a glam band trying to do punk. But I really love this song. And it's off of a compilation called Just Before They Called It Power Pop Volume 2. And I don't know a whole lot about this band, but either way, it's just a really great song. I'm going to smash your face in. And as I promised you, here is Grudge with I'm Going to Smash Your Face In. And we will see you next week. Good night.
I'm gonna smash your face in, baby. Just so yeah, I'm gonna smash your face in now, cause I feel so lonesome tonight.
I like it when it's just no good, it's lame.
Listening to your radio station, Little Raleigh Radio. Find us on the web at littleraleighradio.org.
My name is Keith Ward, and you are listening to Intro. Intro is a music program which offers a distinct connection to new and rediscovered sounds from all over. Intro airs 6 to 7 p.m. each Thursday here on Little Raleigh Radio.
Sailor Man telling you for the hottest grass you can smoke on the internet. Tune into the Bluegrass Experiment every Saturday at 3 p.m., every Sunday at 5, right here on Little Raleigh Radio. Puts that in your pipe and smoke it.
Ooh, Popeye!